So Luke chapter 2, 1 through 14, it's a big chunk. It's up on the screen. You could follow along. It says, "Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee and from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And so she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood up before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.'" Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God. Lord, thank you for the beautiful songs, God, that we're able to sing to you, the beautiful song that we heard, Lord. It truly is, God, a time to praise you, a time to worship you, a time to glorify you, God. Even as the angels cried out, "Glory to God in the highest." And Lord, and that's our heart today, God. We want to just continue to give you praise, Lord. But now, Lord, we humbly come to your word, God. And we ask you to speak to us through it, Lord. To that end, we ask you right now to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just convey your words, God, but convey your heart. We thank you, Lord. We love you in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Like most kids, I love Christmas. I love Christmas carols. My ultimate dream. I've always wanted to be a worship leader. I just felt like this was the pinnacle, you know, of Christian experience. But you guys know, I can't really sing very well. But that's why I like Christmas carols, because when I first came to church, I think I was a sophomore in high school, and the church let me join the Christmas choir. And like Jung, my favorite song was Little Drummer Boy, because they wouldn't let me sing. They just asked me to do ba-rumpa bum bum. And I could do that, and they liked my deep voice, so they just said, "Sam, just don't say anything. This is a true story. Just stand in the back and just do ba-rumpa bum bum." And that's basically what I did. And so I love that time. I'll tell you another quick singing story. When I became the youth pastor at Thanksgiving Church in California, it was my first ministry job. The choir director basically grabbed me, I think it was my second Sunday, and he said, "All the pastors sing in the choir in the early service." And so the early service is really early, so not a lot of people attended, so they were always short of choir members. So every pastor needed to sing in the first service. And so, but I told him, I said, Changnunim, you know, he's an elder, number one, I can't sing, and number two, I don't know any Korean. And so it'd be useless for me to be up there. And he was incredulous. He was incredulous that I was a Korean young man that didn't know how to speak Korean. And he was just like, "What? You know, are you kind of crazy?" Almost short of saying, "Are you stupid or something?" But he didn't say that. And then the second thing, he was incredulous that a pastor didn't know how to sing. And he didn't believe me. He thought I was just trying to get away with this and not coming to the early service. And then in the office, he said, "Do this for me. Just come over here." And I said, came over, and he goes, "Do do re mi." You know, the do re mi fa sol la ti, you know, that kind of thing. And I did it. I said, "Do re mi fa," you know, I did the whole thing. And he goes, "Okay, you're excused." And so that's my that was my group. But Christmas carols, they'll always let me sing in the choir in the back. But again, bum 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 was the only one. It's funny, when I was before the team, Lisa and Bernice were practicing, and it was so lovely. And I turned to my daughter who's here, and I said, I just kind of scanned my kids, and I was like, "Can any of you guys sing?" And it's kind of no. And then my daughter turns to me and she goes, "It's your fault." It's a good one, Elise. It is my fault. It definitely is my fault. Obviously, you know, my wife can sing, so this is my genes at work here. But my favorite Christmas carol is actually "O Holy Night." I just love that song. And there's often not too many times where, you know, the chorus just says, "Fall on your knees." And it just always does something to me, because that's what we should be doing all the time, right? We should be like these shepherds that come and the wise men and just fall on his knees. And I noticed, Jung, you picked this song for our response song today. It's amazing, but I asked you to do a different song, so we're going to do something differently. But I love this song. Another one of my favorite songs is "Away in a Manger." And if you know this song, it's okay, we didn't have to sing it today, because I'm going to explain part of it a little bit. And the sermon is really drawn from the text that talks about this scenario that happens. It was originally, for many, many years, they actually originally thought this song, "Away in a Manger," was written by Martin Luther. They thought it was a German song, and for a long time, they call it Luther's Cradle Song. There was this myth that went around in the church throughout the United States that Luther wrote this song for his son. If you know the story of Martin Luther, obviously, he's known for the Great Reformation. That's a huge thing. But I want you to know that probably the Reformation was pretty amazing, okay? But probably a bigger thing that probably affects you guys maybe even a little bit more was that Luther was actually known for marriage. And so if you remember back in those days, remember all the priests, they couldn't get married. And so in those days, these were the good men. And guess what? They were all not procreating. So that created quite an issue in society, especially all throughout Europe. And so what ended up happening is Luther, after the Reformation, as he began to go through the scriptures again, began to find that actually this forced celibacy may not necessarily be a biblical concept. And he got married and he had lots of kids. And this encouraged a lot of other clergy to also get married and have lots of kids. And now, you know, you see society being populated, you know, by godly men, godly families, and the raising of kids. And so this carol was thought to have been a nod to Luther's change and his song for his son. But we actually, if you do some study, you can see that there's actually no evidence of this whatever. This actually is a purely American hymn. And they don't really know who the author was. But there, if you know, there's three stanzas. Two stanzas are the original. And then in the early 1900s, another minister added another stanza on there, which is basically added a prayer to this choir. And you know the story, "Away in a Manger," the little boy Jesus, you know, has no place to lay his head. And it just tells about the story of this nativity story. And we may be very familiar with this story. I'd hate to burst your bubble a little bit, but it's actually wrong. The nativity story, like we always have this idea that That Joseph and Mary were riding on a donkey. We see this story. They're on a donkey, and then they're like really late at night. She's about to give birth. And next thing you know, there's no place for them at the hotel. You know, the Ramada is full, basically. And so what ends up happening is that, you know, they knock on the door, and the innkeeper is really mean. And he says, oh, there's, you can't sleep here, but you can go sleep in the barn. And that's basically what happens. But I want you to know that that's actually historically incredibly inaccurate. And then I'm going to explain this a bit. And then as a reflection, I have 3 points to share about this. And so we know from the story in Luke here that that Caesar Augustus, for whatever reason, he proclaims a census. He wants to number everyone in the Roman Empire. And so, but in order to do this accurately, he commanded that everyone should actually travel to their hometown. This is an arduous journey. And so everyone, you can imagine, can you imagine if there was a global census right now? Let's say that they let go of COVID quarantine rules and there's a global census and every single one of us had to go back to our hometowns. Now, some of us may not even know what our hometown is. In this context, the hometown is where you were born. And so then I would have to fly back to Jeju, you know, and I guess my wife would come with me, even though she was born in Seoul. I mean, can you imagine? I mean we would probably be maybe, what, 30% at church here? Because for, you know, some of you were born here. And that's the situation that's at hand. And so these guys go on their way. And so while they're there, they give birth, and, you know, they wrap the Savior in cloths, and they laid him in a manger. That part is true. A manger is just an old English word for actually a feeding trough. And this was a simple piece of wood which they cut into, and it was actually created that would put the hay or the feed or whatever it may be for the animals to eat from this thing. And we have this incredible picture of what's happening here. But there really was no innkeeper. And I think a lot of it is because we mistranslate that word inn means. In modern day, it kind of means a motel. But in the scriptures, according to Luke and these things, it just simply means a guest room. And so I just want to describe the situation that's happening here. The word is, let me step back. In first century Palestine, there were absolutely no motels. Hotels, motels, all these things, they actually didn't exist. There were taverns and there were brothels, unfortunately, but those used different words in Greek. And so obviously, our baby Jesus was not born in any of those. He was born in a guest room. And so let me try to explain how this works. The word that's used here for the word inn is the word kataluma. It's inn, lodging place, it's a guest chamber. Actually, Luke correctly translates this as a guest room in another passage. If you look at Luke chapter 22, verse 11, when he's preparing for the Passover, the Seder, he says, "And you shall say to the owner of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room, the kataluma, in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" And so we have this idea that's here. Interesting enough, the word itself is pretty cool. It's a derivative of two separate words. The first word is the word kata, which means down from, and the word leo or luo, which means to loose. And so it's to come down from, it's to loose. And the etymology of this word actually is when people were on a journey, they went on a journey, and then they would basically take the burden off of the animals. They would loose the animals. They would take down whatever the donkey or whatever mule or whatever it was carrying, and then they would lodge for the night. And so it's combining these words, and so we get this pretty interesting idea. Now the root word, kataluo, I'll just give you some examples in the scriptures. It's translated as destroy in Matthew 26:61. He says, and he said, this man stated, I am able to destroy, this is a kataluo, the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. And then in Luke 9:12, it's translated as lodging. Now this day was ending, and the 12 came and said to him, send away the crowd that they may go into surrounding villages and countrysides and find lodging, kataluo. Here's this word again, and get something to eat, for here we are in a desolate place. And then in Luke 19:7, it's translated as guest. He says, when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to be with the guest. This is kataluo again, of a man who is a sinner. And so it's kind of an interesting word. You can see how this word comes to be. Imagine you're on a journey, like you get the word destroy, which kind of means that the journey is being upended in a certain way because they have to go down a night to lodge. And again, it's really about taking something off of this beast or whatever it may be. Again, let's go back to this. No hotels, no motels exist in the first century. A typical Jewish room in the first century consisted of a large room, and this is where everyone would sleep. The family, the kids, they would all sleep together. It was accompanied next to what they call an ante room. You can imagine kind of like a hallway or some kind of waiting room that brings you into a bigger room. And so this waiting room actually is the guest room. This would be many times used for storage, but when you had guests that came in, this would be the room that they would occupy. And then at the far other end of the room was another large room, and this was basically the barn. This is where all the animals would come in and stay for the night, especially the ones that you couldn't have outside. They would come in during this time. And so imagine you'd have a typical home, you'd have one room, and you'd have, you know, the family sleeps there. You had a waiting room or a room on the side, and this was simply the guest chambers or this kataluo, what they're talking about. And then you had kind of, if you look at kind of in the West, homes, kind of like a garage. And this is where they kind of held the animals. Now, obviously, that when people were traveling back to their hometowns, where would you stay? You would stay at your relative's house. And so Mary and Joseph went to their relatives. They got there. They probably were traveling a little bit slower than everyone else because she was pregnant. And so the guest room was already taken by another relative. Well, since they're related, Jewish hospitality says, I can't turn them away. And so what does he have left? He basically has the garage, or he has the barn. And that's what kind of you see in the nativity scenes, but I want to suggest to you that it's actually one home, and this is kind of what's happening here, when I was thinking about this the whole time, and I've been meditating on this passage for a while. Well, let me step back to give you an idea. If you remember the story, the parable in Luke 11, remember in Luke 11 the friend comes and says, hey, I have some guests here. It's midnight. I have some guests. And so can you give me 3 pieces of bread so that I can attend to my guests? And remember the guy that's sleeping there says, no, I'm not going to, I can't get it to you. My kids are already asleep. And you have to understand the context. Obviously, he can get up quietly and his kids can still be asleep. But if he gets up to do anything, guess what? The animals wake up. And once the animals wake up, it's over. And so that's kind of that. That gives you a little better context of Luke 11 in this story here. And as I've been meditating on this, there's actually been a phrase that's kind of come back to me over and over and over and over again. And it makes me reflect on this Christmas season for all of us. I mean, it's my own personal reflection. But hopefully we can all reflect on this. And it's just that little verse in Luke, and it says, there was no room for him in the inn. Turn to your neighbor, say, hey, good looking. Just say, there was no room for him in the inn. It's such a little phrase. But I mean, months. I knew I was preaching this message months ago when God began to speak to me about this. And I've just been meditating on this. There's no room for him. There's no room for him. And I wonder how many of us can relate to this simple verse, this simple idea. Do we make room for him? My reflection, I think more than anything else, is I find that Jesus seems to always squeeze himself in. Even though we give him the tiniest little space, Jesus is always squeezing himself in to even the tiny space that we give him. You know, our Lord was not born in a mansion, a palace, a castle, a penthouse suite like he deserves. He was born among the animals. He was born, right, no cradle for a bed. He lied down in a trough, in a feeding apparatus. You know, he really, really was the humble king. And so in reflection, I have 3 points. I had 2, but I just got another one during the worship, so it was good. So good worship, man. Right? Number one, or bad worship because it's longer now. One or the other. Number one, following God is oftentimes very inconvenient. Following God is oftentimes very inconvenient. I find that many times following the Lord is very inconvenient. I would rather do something else. Sometimes, now I'm not saying I'm too busy, but sometimes I feel I am so busy that sometimes, if I'm honest, it actually bothers me that God wants something from me. Sometimes following the Lord is so inconvenient. In that same way, we make such little room for him in our lives and in our hearts. The relative probably felt this way as well. It was so inconvenient for Joseph to visit during this time. My house is already full. I got all the relatives in the guest room. But Jewish hospitality says I can't turn him away. He's family. And so he comes in. And I felt like this so many times, and even in this season. Sometimes following the Lord seems so inconvenient. I'll tell you a story. I think I shared a long time ago. But I was flying to New York on, I was speaking at a retreat. And so I stopped by in Dallas first. Flew into LA, you know, saw my friends, you know, hung out with Pastor Brian, you know, with my mother-in-law. And then I flew directly to Dallas, and I met with my seminary professor. You know, we had a few days of sharing and talking. I really, you know, wanted to pick his brain on some things. And then I flew to New York. But then on my flight to New York, there was a huge storm in New York. And so this is one of these things. I got in the plane, sat down, we're about to take off, and then there was a flight advisory that they're not allowing any planes to land in New York. And so I had to get out of the plane, and I was actually, this time, I was feeling a little sick already, and I almost contemplated actually coming back home because I wasn't feeling very well. And so you can imagine, now the worst thing that can happen is you get stuck in the airport. Now, everything is okay in Dallas, it's just the arrival in New York. There's a huge storm. It's really bad. I can't land. And so when you get off the plane and there's rules that if you are in the tarmac or whatever, and then there's a delay of how many hours, the airline is obligated to give you a food voucher. You guys ever recipients of that? And so it was a $20 voucher, U.S. dollar. And so then I had some time to eat, so I went and parked myself and at this restaurant called Gas Monkey Bar and Grill. And so it's named after some famous TV show. And so I sit down, and there's sports playing. on the TV. I think it was soccer World Cup, or I don't know what it was. But I was really interested. I was watching, and I was not feeling well. I was tired. I'm grumpy mood because I'm missing my flight. Now notice, I got to land, and I got to preach, and I got to drive another 2 hours up to the Poconos to preach at this retreat. And so now it's all getting messed up. I'm texting the pastor there and going back and forth. And so I'm sitting down, and I'm just enjoying, you know, my tacos with my $20 voucher. And then this guy sitting next to me is so loud. And I mean, he's just talking and talking and talking. And he turns to me and he goes, "You want some shots, man? You want to do shots with me?" And what am I supposed to do, right? I mean, I've never done a shot in my life. And so I gladly declined him. And he just kept pestering me the whole night. "Hey, you want to do some shots, man?" You know, this big American guy. And it just, the whole episode was so inconvenient. It was actually quite difficult. And then I'm eating, but you know, and then this guy keeps talking to me, and then it dawns on me that maybe God may want to do something here. But I didn't want to do anything here. I'm serious. I just wanted to watch the game, eat my tacos, and hopefully pray and get back on the flight so I can do ministry. And here's ministry sitting right next to me. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's so inconvenient to follow the Lord. And so, long story short, I finally, you know, God finally kind of wakes me up and says, "Hey, buddy, you know, do some ministry." And so I start talking to him, and then I find out that he's Jewish, you know, and he says, "Oh, you're Jewish?" And I say, "You know what? I've been to your country." But he's American Jewish, so he has no idea what his country is. And so I said, "I've been to Israel." And then I break out my phone, you know, and I got all these pictures. And I show him, this is what Mount Sinai looks like. You know, this is you know, the great, you know, the Western Wall. I was there. You know, I got a picture of me actually putting my hand on the wall. I'm just going through this, and he's really intrigued by this whole thing. And then I find out that this guy's not waiting for a flight. You know what? He got off a flight, and he's sitting there because he doesn't want to go home. Sad, right? He doesn't want to go face his wife and his kids. And I was like, what? You know, I mean, when I land, I just want to get home as fast as I can. And this guy, and I said, "Hey, you having some marriage issues, man?" And so we just start talking about his marriage. And we end up having this wonderful conversation. And I talked to him about what marriage is, and you know, and all these things, you know, biblical, and all this, and it's, I mean, we had this amazing talk, you know. By the end, I mean, this guy was giving me bear hugs, you know, and it's like, this is the best conversation I've ever had in my life, man. And you know, I mean, he's okay. I'll be honest, he's kind of halfway drunk, okay, you know, by this point. But just an amazing God opportunity that I could have totally bypassed, because I found it to be so inconvenient. It gets like that so many times, doesn't it? Because we make such little room for him in our lives. There was no room for him in the end. There was no room for him in the end. Couldn't even have a guest room in that place. Even though at first it was so inconvenient, isn't it amazing that Jesus always squeezes in? That's who Jesus is. He always squeezes in. And I had to make room so that I can have this wonderful encounter. I could share so many stories like this. And usually the best stories is because in the beginning I just didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. It was inconvenient. It was difficult, you know, but Jesus always squeezes in. And thus, I get to experience and encounter him. And, you know, that gentleman got to encounter the Lord as well in that place. So following God is oftentimes very inconvenient. Number two, Following God is oftentimes very insincere. Or I should paraphrase this. My following God is oftentimes very insincere. Brothers and sisters, we say that He is Lord, but we don't give Him that space in our lives. You've heard that famous saying, if He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. If you think about this, and in some of the passages in the Bible, you have really like a first century Palestinian hearing what Jesus is saying about His people would shock you. And in some of the stories that Jesus says, remember the parable, He's saying something, and then the servant goes, but no Lord. And I want you to know, in the first century, they would have almost had a heart attack. To call someone Lord and say no at the same time, it just doesn't happen. If you say no to the Lord, it means He's not your Lord. And that's very much the same way. Many times our following God is very insincere. We also relegate Him to the back room, not center stage where He belongs. Many times we give God our leftovers instead of giving God our best. There's just no room for Him in the end. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But if you're like me, many times we're so focused on all these things that we forget to put Him first. Doesn't that happen a lot during Christmas? Christmas is about Christ, but yet all of a sudden it becomes about decorations and trees and festivities. I mean, those are all great things and gifts and all this stuff. But we're so focused on all these things that we forget why. We forget to put Him first. Many times I say to the Lord that He's my everything, but yet I'm so preoccupied with my own thing. I wonder, had the relative known, can you imagine, had the relative known that this baby was the Messiah, was the one they had been waiting for all their life, that they had gone to school and studied and memorized, and they were waiting for, had the relative known, I'm sure that He would have given Mary and Joseph His own bed. Don't you think so? He would have slept in the barn. But there was no room for Him in the inn. And instead, Jesus got the garage. I remember Pastor Ed Teo from ICA. Remember, he came and spoke to us last year, I believe. And he says, he gave this really great use of words. And he says, in our journey with Christ, you know, we start off is that He just becomes, you know, just anyone. And then Jesus becomes someone. And then He becomes the first one. But what He really needs is to become the only one. And maybe you're on this journey. Please make Him the only one. In our hearts, many times, we make such little room for Him. But Jesus always squeezes in. He always finds that place to squeeze in. Jesus is content to be in the garage, because if we stay close to Him, He will eventually move into the master suite of our hearts. Amen? And last one, number three. And so I realized during worship that I need to, this is Christmas service, right? So I need to follow with something nice and strong. So I added this one. Following God is oftentimes very, the last I, incredible. It's very, very incredible. If you think of The Christmas story is such an incredible story. We have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, like I said, not born in some palace or mansion, but in a poor, humble relative's home, sleeping, laying down with the animals. He's the humble king. And he comes in such a humble way so that we can all relate to him. And he loves us, and he saves us. God sent himself. This is the mystery. We're going to get to this passage in Philippians chapter 2, and I'm still wrestling how I'm going to explain this. But in Philippians 2, what we call the kenosis passage, he says he did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. In other words, it's such an incredible idea, concept. He says, if, humanly speaking, we will never really grasp. I mean, he says it, Paul says it very clearly. He said he did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. And this is the same idea of this Christmas story. God saw humanity in a mess. He saw us wrapped in our sins and in our own devices. We've lost the program. And so God sends himself as a son down to this earth to live humbly among us, to suffer with us, that he may die for our sins. This life that we have in God is really incredible. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the journey all started in a little home, in a little unknown town called Bethlehem. You can visit this town. It's still a very unknown town. It's hardly anything there. I mean, it's on the outskirts. In fact, you have to go through the wall to get to this place. And the only thing they have is what they believe is this little place where Jesus was born. I mean, who knows, right? Who knows? Probably not, but, you know, we'll just take it at face value and just adore him anyway. And it all starts in this humble place. So following God is oftentimes very incredible. God loves us so much that he sends his son to live among us and then to die for our sins. As we reflect on this Christmas season, it's tough. It's a tough season. Many of us, man, we haven't seen our family in years. I mean, I'm thankful for Zoom and Kakao video and WhatsApp video and all these things. And I'm sure that you guys are doing that. And, you know, with my dad and Lisa's mom and these things, that, man, we're missing our families during this time. And over 2 years now, and you know what? And even celebrating Christmas in this kind of, you know, in the midst of pandemic and Omicron is happening, you know, I mean, it's just, and it seems like we're just going to get more and more variants down the road and travel and all these things. And then, you know, and then I woke up this morning, I found out Anthony Davis hurt his knee, right? Some of you guys don't know who that is, but star of the Lakers. I'm like, oh my gosh, man. Ho, ho, ho. You know what I mean? It's crazy. And all this happening here. And it just seems so inconvenient in this way. Sorry about the, you know where my headspace is right now. You know, but this Christmas is about a God who so loved us. Like I said, that he sent himself and he wrapped himself in a cloth. He laid in a tiny little trough to save the sins of the world. Brothers and sisters, even in this very difficult, inconvenient time, let's be sincere. Let's give God our best. We have access to this incredible God, this incredible relationship. Like I shared, the word, meditate on that. There was no room for him. There was no room for him. This Christmas, Let's make room. Let's give him the master suite. Let's give him that place of prominence in our heart and in our lives. Let's open up our hearts and let's let him in. Let him in to that place where you're troubled. Let him in to that place where you're lonely. Let him in to that place where you feel so confused. Let him in to that space where you need answers. Let him in to that pain that you are experiencing now. Let him in. Open up your heart and let him in. Let not that verse be said of us in this season. Oh, we went through Christmas 2021, but there was no room for him in the end. There was no room for him in our hearts. Can we do that this year? Let's open up our hearts and let's let him in. Let me invite the worship team to come. Yeah, it's inconvenient sometimes. Many times we start, it's a bit insincere, but it's going to be incredible. It's going to be absolutely incredible. Open up your hearts and just let him in. Let's close our eyes. If you're going through a difficult time, let him into that space. Maybe there's marriage issues. Let him in. Financial issues, work issues, boyfriend, girlfriend issues, trauma, family. Let him in. He wants to occupy that space so he can do something beautiful. Well, let's open up our hearts and let's let him in. Christmas is ultimately an invitation from the Lord. It's an invitation to remember. This song is an invitation. And I want to encourage you, actually, if we can just let the worship team sing this over us. This is the Lord speaking to you. He's saying, come away with me. Open up your heart and let me in. And obviously, you can join in the chorus, but let him just sing it once over you. Just close your eyes and just listen to the voice of God. Just come away. Open up your heart. And then you can just join the chorus. Go ahead, Joe. This morning, and you're just asking the Lord just to come in. Whatever situation is going around, we just want to pray for you for a moment. And it could be in so many different areas, but you're saying, Lord, just enter into my marriage, or enter in into my work life, enter in into my mom's health. And maybe you've just kept this part to yourself for whatever reason. And you just want to surrender that right now and say, Lord, I just want to create this space. You are welcomed in. I just want to pray for you for a moment. Just, can I invite you just to lift your hands to the Lord right now? Just lift your hands. Whatever that space is, just let him in. And let the hands be a sign of welcome, but also a sign of surrender. Just right now, just do it right now. Just let him in. Verbalize it to the Lord right now. Whatever that is, whatever that area, maybe it's a place of brokenness. Just let him in. Maybe you're depressed. You're frustrated. Just let him in. Make room right now. June, can you sing that over us? Let's verbalize it right now to the Lord.
Heart, let me in.
like the Lord's really speaking to me right now, just receive this. The Lord says, I'm in. I'm not here to visit. I'm here to remain. I'm not coming in to visit. This is not temporary. I've come to remain. Let's pray, Lord, we invite you, God. Lord, first of all, we're so sorry. We have in our hearts relegated you to the back room, to the garage, the bathroom, the closet. Lord, would you forgive us, God? Lord, you deserve our master bedroom. You deserve the prime place, God. And we're so, so sorry. Lord, take center stage. Lord, we invite you to our pain. We invite you into our trauma, into our difficulty. Lord, you are always welcome in our hearts, God. You're always welcome in our home. You're always welcome in our church. So come, Holy Spirit. I feel like as you continue to invite the Lord in, that He's going to give you words to speak, prayers to pray. They're going to revolutionize your life with Christ right now. And so would you equip us, God, as we continue to invite you in into the deep place of our hearts. Lord, let it never be said of us, God, that there was no room for Jesus in our lives or in our heart, God. Let it never be said there was no room for Him. Help us, Lord. Help us to celebrate your coming down to this earth to be with us. Jesus is the reason for this season. We thank you, God. We love you, Lord. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Say to someone, Merry Christmas. Say, make room. Huh? Just look at them and say, make room. If you need any prayer for anything, come up to the front. Our well ministers are glad to pray for you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. God bless you. This morning and you're just asking the Lord just to come in. Whatever situation is going around, we just want to pray for you for a moment. And it could be in so many different areas, but you're saying, Lord, just enter in. Enter into my marriage. Or enter in into my work life. Enter in into my mom's health. And maybe you've just kept this part to yourself for whatever reason. And you just want to surrender that right now. and say, Lord, I just want to create this space. You are welcomed in. I just want to pray for you for a moment. Just, can I invite you just to lift your hands to the Lord right now? Just lift your hands. Whatever that space is, just let Him in. And let the hands be a sign of welcome, but also a sign of surrender. Just right now, just do it right now. Just let Him in. Verbalize it to the Lord right now. Whatever that is, whatever that area, maybe it's a place of brokenness. Just let Him in. Maybe you're depressed. You're frustrated. So let Him in. Make room right now. June, can you sing that over us? Let's verbalize it right now to the Lord. Speaking to me right now, just receive this. The Lord says, I'm in. I'm not here to visit. I'm here to remain. I'm not coming in to visit. This is not temporary. I've come to remain. Let's pray, Lord. We invite you, God. Lord, first of all, we're so sorry. We have in our hearts relegated you to the back room, to the garage, the bathroom, the closet. Lord, would you forgive us, God? Lord, you deserve our master bedroom. You deserve the prime place, God. And we're so, so sorry. Lord, take center stage. Lord, we invite you to our pain. We invite you into our trauma, into our difficulty. Lord, you are always welcome in our hearts, God. You're always welcome in our home. You're always welcome in our church. So come, Holy Spirit. I feel like as you continue to invite the Lord in, that He's going to give you words to speak, prayers to pray. They're going to revolutionize your life with Christ right now. And so would you equip us, God, as we continue to invite you in into the deep place of our hearts. Lord, let it never be said of us, God, that there was no room for Jesus in our lives or in our heart, God. Let it never be said there was no room for Him. Help us, Lord. Help us to celebrate your coming down to this earth to be with us. Jesus is the reason for this season. We thank you, God. We love you, Lord. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord causes His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Say to someone, Merry Christmas. Say, make room. Huh? Just look at them and say, make room. If you need any prayer for anything, come up to the front. Our well ministers are glad to pray for you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. God bless you.